Welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service. I'm Leila Nathu. Jesse Jackson, a towering figure in the US civil rights movement, has died at the age of 84. He twice campaigned to stand as a Democratic presidential candidate, delivering this momentous speech at the party's national convention in 1988.
We must never surrender! America will get better and better. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive on tomorrow night and beyond.
We'll consider his impact and his legacy, and what the people of Tehran make of the latest talks with the US on Iran's nuclear programme.
They must come to an agreement with the United States in order to prevent an attack. But so many people in Iran are suffering, and some want the United States to strike.
That's all coming up after the news.
BBC News with David Harper. Jesse Jackson, the US civil rights leader who twice ran for the Democratic nomination for president, has died aged 84. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease nearly 10 years ago. Our correspondent Ali Makbul looks back at his life.
In the 1960s, the Reverend Jesse Jackson threw himself into the civil rights struggle engulfing America. He did so under the leadership of Martin Luther King, who sent the young Baptist minister to Chicago to organize protests. But he often faced violent crowds, and then in Memphis, King was murdered in front of him. But Reverend Jackson continued the struggle, and in the 80s twice ran for president. And while he failed to win the Democratic nomination, for the first time a black man was a serious contender.
A second round of indirect talks between the US and Iran has ended in Geneva. There's been no comment as yet from either side. The US had sought to expand the scope of the discussions to include non-nuclear issues, but Iran had insisted it would only discuss curbs on its nuclear programme and sanctions relief. BBC Persian's Kasra Naji is in Geneva.
As to what happened in terms of inside the talks, we know that they're talking about nuclear issue, but there's quite a bit of gap between the two sides. The American side want Iran to obliterate all its nuclear program, anything they have, to get rid of, basically. And the Iranians want to keep a minimum enrichment program inside Iran.
Russian and Ukrainian negotiators have begun a new round of US brokered peace talks, also in Geneva. Hopes of a breakthrough are low as Russia continues to demand the entire Donbass region, which Kiev has ruled out. Hours before the discussions began, Moscow carried out a wave of attacks on Ukrainian energy facilities. Here's BBC Monitoring's Vitaly Shevchenko.
What Russia demonstrated last night, yet again, is determination to keep attacking Ukraine until it gives up or until it's crushed. For Ukrainians, they're not just going to agree to a ceasefire when their homes are being attacked and when their survival is at stake. And also, they're still able to keep fighting despite the reductions in aid, particularly from the United States.
There are growing fears of renewed fighting in northern Ethiopia after reports of a mass build-up of rival troops from the federal government and the Tigray region. A diplomatic source says the mobilization on the border between Tigray and the rest of Ethiopia risks undermining the area's fragile stability. A peace agreement signed in 2022 formally ended a brutal conflict, but key elements of the deal were never fully implemented. Ethiopia has recently accused neighboring Eritrea of supplying Tigrayan soldiers with weapons. World News from the BBC. Kenyan airport workers have called off their strike after reaching an agreement with the country's transport ministry. Union leaders say the deal sets out a framework to address their grievances over pay and working conditions. The two-day industrial action caused widespread disruption at Nairobi's main international airport, one of Africa's busiest hubs. President Macron of France has praised what he called the remarkable acceleration of ties with India after a meeting with Prime Minister Narendra Modi in Mumbai. Mr. Macron said the shift was a response to a changing international order. The two leaders are reviewing progress in their country's strategic partnership, India's first with a Western nation and France's first outside the European Union. A lawyer representing a group of people believed to have been deported from the United States to Cameroon last month has told the BBC that eight more migrants landed on Monday. He said none of them are originally from Cameroon. Paul Ngie reports from Yaoundé.
Reports of third country migrants being deported to Cameroon have sparked outrage as authorities remain silent about the situation. Joseph Frew, a lawyer representing the migrants in Cameroon, told the BBC 8 new deportees landed in the country on Monday, joining 7 others held in a housing facility in the capital Yaoundé since January. Most of the third country individuals who arrived last month reportedly have court protections preventing their deportation to their countries of origin. Details of any deportation arrangement between the U.S. and Cameroon remain unclear, with the U.S. State Department declining to comment on its communications with other governments.
Warner Brothers has given Paramount 7 days to make its best and final takeover offer. Warner Brothers also says it will hold a vote on the rival Netflix offer, which it prefers, on March the 20th. Paramount is seeking to take over the whole media network, while Netflix just wants control of Warner Brothers and HBO, home to shows such as Game of Thrones and Succession. Live from London, this is David Harper, and that's the latest BBC News.